Would you turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 15? I thank you for watching today, and I hope it's a blessing to you. And as I normally do, I recommend that you get a Bible and study with us. Check the passages of Scripture in your Bible to see whether I'm telling the truth. If you don't have a Bible, get a pencil and a piece of paper and write them down and check them out for yourself. We've been talking about Pentecost and about the fact that there were 8,000 people saved in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, and rather they were believers that were baptized, but they were not saved. And they wouldn't be saved until the second coming of Christ. Peter tells them in Acts chapter 2, after they said, "What must we do?" He told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. But in Acts 3:19, he tells them, and it's the same preacher, same people, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the coming of the Lord. In other words, the deliverer is going to roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's God's covenant unto them when he shall take away their sins. So in Acts chapter 2, if they repented, changed their mind about who the Lord is, you see, they had said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us." They said, "Crucify this man." So they repented, changed their mind about him after they heard Peter preach in Acts chapter 2. And so they said, "What must we do?" They didn't say, "What must we do to be saved?" They're in effect saying, under the circumstances, we realize that we were wrong. We've crucified the Messiah, the Son of God, the heir to the throne of David. Now, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and be identified. Baptism. Baptism is identification. Be identified with Christ for remission of sins. Wouldn't be the blotting out of their sins. It would be the remission or abating of the power of their sins over them. In other words, God's wrath would not fall upon them if they repented and were identified with Christ as the Messiah. Christ's wrath was relaxed upon them. It was abated at that time. Remission, that's what remission is. A lot of people today, and I might be talking to somebody, who have cancer, and the cancer is in remission at this moment. But that's no guarantee that it won't ever flare up again. And so by them being identified with Christ in water baptism, they still had to endure unto the end to be saved. Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 6 is about that issue. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 14, both in effect say that they have to endure to the end to be a partaker of Jesus Christ. That is not true of those who believe the gospel today and are saved by the gospel. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So we are already a partaker of Christ, we in this age that trust Christ as our Savior. And yet, these people of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so forth and so on, they had to endure unto the time of the covenant. God said, "This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." Now, notice in Romans 15, I want to talk to you for a while this morning about the ministry of Christ where they're concerned. To begin with, notice in Romans 15, verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, all of the Bible is for us. All of the things that were written before us was written for our admonition and our learning, but they weren't necessarily written unto us. For us, but not unto us. Now, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul's epistles are unto us. Why? Because he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8 says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Then Jesus Christ's ministry was a ministry unto the circumcision. He had a ministry unto Israel. The Bible says in the book of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, so forth and so on. Now, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, what is the word of truth? Look in Ephesians chapter 1. The word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what is the word of truth? Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Ephesians 1:13, a reference to Christ, "in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Then I know that the word of truth is that gospel unto you Gentiles. So I'm to rightly divide the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. So I've got a chart up here, and I have these parentheses. So I have the gospel committed to the Gentiles in here, and it would be Romans through Philemon. Romans Philemon is written unto you. It is not only for you, it is unto you. The rest of the Bible is for you. So we must rightly divide the word of truth. That is, the gospel that was committed to Paul unto us must be divided off from that gospel committed unto the Lord for Israel's sake. Now, notice something about Jesus Christ's ministry. Now, we saw in Romans 15 that he's a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Notice the distinction with the Ephesians. Compare Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, Scripture with Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," that is me, that is you, that is us. We're Gentiles. Verse 12, "That at that time," time past, verse 11, "remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," verse 12, "at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Why were these Ephesians without Christ in time past? Because they were not ally with Israel. To be ally with Israel, they had to bless the seed of Abraham, as in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I will bless you, and I will bless your seed after you." That would be Isaac, Jacob, and so forth. The fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "I will bless you, I will bless your seed after you," and he said, "I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you." So the nations who have blessed Israel down through the years, God is blessed. But the nations who cursed Israel, God cursed. The Assyrians cursed Israel. That nation bit the dust, so to speak. Egypt cursed Israel, put them under bondage for over 400 years. They've been cursed. Babylon cursed Israel. God cursed them. Rome cursed Israel. God cursed them. And on. These nations have come, reigned, and then fallen as a result of one nation on this earth. That nation is Israel. That nation today is called Lo Am I in the book of Hosea, chapter 1. Lo Am I, not God's people. In other words, Israel is not the people of God today. You know what they did? They cursed the seed of Abraham. Are you there? Are you listening? They cursed the seed. Jesus Christ is the promised seed. And so he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What is wrong as far as Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? What is wrong there? These people cursed the seed of Abraham. And God promised in Genesis 12, check it out, God promised that he would curse them that cursed the seed of Abraham. According to Galatians chapter 3, Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. And so they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, crucify this man. And so they cursed him. And so when Peter is saying, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, that's the gimmick. That's the whole thing. He is not saying repent and be baptized in order to be forgiven for chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, going to the honky-tonks, and so forth. No way. They were in a mess. They cursed the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. And therefore, they are cursed. And you know what they said? They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it's as if God said, okay, that's the way you want it. That's the way it's going to be. And so what did the Lord do? The Lord selected a group of believers out of Israel. Just like back there in the past, he had selected Israel out from among the Egyptians. And they were baptized unto him in the Red Sea and the cloud. Jesus Christ came unto them here. And to begin with, he's got 12. In Acts chapter 2, that group grew by 3,000. In Acts chapter 4, it grew by another 5,000. And on and on and on. So what's happening? A new nation is being formed. That new nation is being put together through the ministry of Christ and his apostles, separated by water baptism out from the overall nation of Israel that rejected Christ. They cursed Christ. God cursed them. But those who repented and were identified with Christ in water baptism were separated out from the overall nation. Turn, please, to 1 Peter and look what the man says. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, as those in Exodus chapter 19 were. Write it down and check it out. In Exodus chapter 19, God said, Moses, come up into this mountain, and he did, and he said, go and speak unto Israel, tell my people, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You couldn't miss that. Exodus chapter 19. But that nation turned to apostasy and then cursed the seed of Abraham. And so God cursed them. But he selected a group out from among them, just like he had selected them out of Egypt. those coming out of Egypt were redeemed by the blood of a lamb, a four-legged lamb. They were baptized with the baptism unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And on and on and on. These here were redeemed by the blood of a lamb, two-legged lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist pointed him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ is the Lamb. So they're redeemed by His blood. They're baptized with the baptism of repentance. And they were put together. And just as those back there in Exodus were a nation and so forth, so are these. Look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation." They back there at Exodus were. "A royal priesthood," those in Exodus 19 were. "An holy nation," those in Exodus 19 were. "A peculiar people," those in Exodus 19 were. "That you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light," so forth and so on. Why, you couldn't miss it. Yet people do. Why? Because they won't read it. They won't check it out. And besides, in many cases, they're already prejudiced by some denominational standard. The Lord formed a new nation in Acts chapter 2, and yet the church, which is the body of Christ over here, is not a nation. Why, Galatians chapter 3, turn there. Galatians chapter 3, and look what this Bible says. In Galatians chapter 3, read with me from verse 26. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus." People say that's a water baptism. There's no way. Water baptism never changed your physical makeup. My wife was baptized in a baptistry up in Alabama years ago. She went in there a female, came out a female. I was baptized up in Coffee County, Alabama. I went into that river, a male, came out a female. I also was baptized in Mobile, Alabama. Baptist there, I went in a male, came out a male, and on and on it goes. It's unmistakable. We're not a nation of people, spiritually speaking. In other words, in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. We're in Christ, been baptized by the Spirit into Christ. So we're not a nation. That church in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so forth, that's a Jewish assembly. A Gentile could get in it, but he remained either a Jewish proselyte or a Gentile that feared God and was acceptable to them because he blessed the seed of Abraham, as in Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. Now, turn back with me, please, and look at this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 15, hold on to 10. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, the ministry of Jesus Christ, he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And yet people insist that he was. He said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, then his ministry was to Israel at that time. Romans 15, we've already read. It said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Well, how about Jesus Christ's apostles? His ministry through those apostles. Look in Matthew 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus Christ sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." What was their attitude about that? Turn to Matthew 15 again. In Matthew 15, verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." Why would they say that? Because of Matthew chapter 10. Go not in the way of the Gentiles. Verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, say, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, then the ministry of the apostles becomes clear. Look in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, after his crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection. In Luke 24, verse 46, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." Now watch, beginning at Jerusalem. Turn with me, please, to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now here it is. "And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But wait a minute. That Syrophoenician woman. You know what he said? He said, "The children must first be fed." In other words, the apostles then were to go and preach the gospel to every creature, but they were to do it in order. Let's just say that this right here represents the Mediterranean Sea. Right here is the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. There's a line across here. Down here would be Judea. Right about here would be Jerusalem, we'll say. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria is up here, and then the world out here. So they were to carry out this commission in order. They were to start first in Jerusalem, then go to Judea, then Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said the children must first be fed. He said in Matthew 15, "It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children are Israel, the bread is the gospel, and the dogs were the Gentiles." It's an orderly thing. Why, people run in there and they grab Mark chapter 16, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And they jump on that with all feet and whatever, and they say, "Here I take my stand," and that's all they ever know. They don't ever get past that. Putting somebody in water. Well, that won't work. Those people that were baptized, those 8,000 that were baptized, were not saved with baptism. They had to endure to the end to be saved, Matthew 24:13 says. They had to give up their lives to be saved. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, 25, and 26 says, read them and see. Now, Paul's ministry. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was given the dispensation, the grace of God to you Gentiles. He was committed the gospel unto you Gentiles, the Bible says. Notice in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what is that gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Come to verse, he says, by which also you received and wherein you stand. Verse 2, by which also you're saved. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and compare Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, he appeared unto them, and he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You can't make both of those statements be saying the same thing, no matter how you try. So you want to be saved? How can you be saved? Well, that's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Christ died for your sins on Calvary. Why? He hadn't even revealed that fact at the point of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. He hadn't revealed that. Peter didn't know that in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Learned it in chapter 12. But Paul knew it, and Paul was sent to preach the gospel to you, me, and they today. What is the gospel of the grace of God? That Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you. I can guarantee it, based upon the Holy Scriptures.